Well, I hope you're ready for an interesting study. 66 chapters in Isaiah and 16 class periods to study it, either 16 or 17. That's four chapters a week, so some of the chapters will abbreviate, obviously, and won't be able to discuss every one of them in detail. But I want us to get an overview of this study and of this book. I think you'll really, really enjoy this study. Now then, I need your help. I need you to look at the screen, and Nate, if you'll show the next slide, go ahead and show slide two. Which colors do you like best, okay? It has dawned on me. I always see this on my computer screen and everything, and when others preach, I notice their colors and everything. I want to know which one you can read best, and you can tell me afterwards whether you like the blue background or whether you like the yellow background. I'm not going to take a vote. You will be so polarized. Well, he didn't listen to me, you know. And so what if it were a tie vote? Church up in Alabama trying to decide to have early Sunday night services. So there were a lot of older members, and they said we will either meet at 1 or at 2, and they voted in the church. I mean, the elders took a poll. And it was tied 26-26. Now, what do you do? Well, they decided to meet at 1:30 is what they decided. And I guess that's a good compromise. Or it could have been. It was 30 minutes apart, and they decided at 15 after the hours. But please let me know. Also, any slide that I produce, if you cannot read it from sitting where you are, assuming you got normal eyesight, please let me know which words you cannot read. If you cannot read them, how on earth are you going to tell them which words you cannot read? That'll be fun in and of itself. But you could say, well, on that one slide, I could read the first two lines, and here's what I read on that line, but the others I cannot see. I don't know which fonts are big enough to read here. Can you read the last date up there right now? I hope if you can. That amazes me, and you've got really, really good eyesight. I don't use a font that small very, very often, but that's the idea. Now then, let's talk about Isaiah in the introductory way. Before we get to the introductory way, let me point out that Isaiah is quoted, and it depends on whose list you look at. Well, how many times do you think Isaiah would be quoted in the New Testament? Would it be 30? Would it be more than 30? What would be your guess? You know, we know Isaiah 53, and some of those verses we know. We know the virgin birth. You know, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we know some passage. You think it'd be above 30 or less than 30? Still going up. What about 50? Above or less? Yeah. You know? What about 75? Fewer or more than 75 or less than 75? That's a big number of quotations. I mean, you've got 27 books in the New Testament. How often is Isaiah quoted in the New Testament? It might surprise you that in one list I saw today, more than 80 times Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament. That astounded me. I knew it would be more than, I knew it would be a large number, but more than 80 times Isaiah is referenced in the New Testament. And we may, if you want a copy of that, I could print that out for you just so you'd have your own copy of it, but we're going to spend a lot of time, and in this study, I want us to look at a lot of these times in the New Testament where Isaiah is quoted, in the New Testament. Now then, let's get a background of it. Where and when does Isaiah fit in the Bible? Here's a problem for you. Put the following, if you can read that on the screen, put the following people in the Bible in the order in which they live. There's a puzzle for you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody, well, you guys can work across here, but everybody in these two rows right here, look up there and who's the first name you would say? Who goes first in that list? Is that too hard? You know, okay, I didn't want to make it too hard for you, Amy. I wanted you to make sure you got it. All right, you guys right here in this list, you'll have to look at where I am. Who goes next? Who? Adam, who's after Adam? Who's next up there? Huh? I'm here, Saul. Oh, well, you're reading the list up there. I wasn't asking you to read the list. I'm talking about when they lived in the Bible, the chronological list. It's not an eye test. It's a Bible test, all right? Who's the next character up there? Who would you say? That's Noah. It is Adam, Noah, all right? Adam and Noah, and then right here, Mike Archer in this role right here. You guys outnumber everybody on any other row here. Who's next up there?
Abraham.
Very good. Thank you, Joel. Abraham is next. Okay, we got now it gets a little bit more hard after Abraham. Right here on this row right here. Jim and who?
Moses.
Moses would be the one. This is Moses. Let's come back here to this row right here. Who's after Moses?
Which Moses?
We got two Moses up there?
Yeah. One Sally Moses.
One Sally Moses, and the other's her husband. Okay, all right. Sally's a member here. Okay. Well, Moses could come at the end of the list if you want to put Sally Moses up there, all right? I thought I had the word Moses up there twice. After Moses, who have you got right here? Who? After Moses. Joshua, we got Joshua next. After Joshua, now it gets a little bit more difficult. Who comes after Joshua? This row right here.
David.
Not David.
Deborah.
All right. Deborah comes after this. Back row, who is after Deborah? Who? Samson. After Samson, who is the last one that goes up there? Is that too hard? All right. Was that fun? I don't know if it's fun or not, okay? Here's the story of the Bible looking at characters. Adam, Noah, Abraham. Now, we could have put some other characters in there. You think about the promise made to Abraham that his descendants would go down into that land, and Moses led them out. And go ahead and put the next slide up there did have the proper order in the next slide, all right? Now then, here's where it gets difficult. Once you get beyond David in the Old Testament, Bible knowledge is like walking into a dense fog. You know, I remember when we were in New Zealand, the 10 years we were there, missionaries, there'd be fogs that would come in that would last 72 hours, you know. London fog was not a suit overcoat that you wore in New Zealand. It's what you experienced. Fog would come in and last sometimes nearly 3 days. And Bible knowledge, when you get beyond David, really, really gets thick in relationship to this. So let's look at this list, and we'll do it this side versus this side. Of the things that are on that list, put them in the biblical order in which they happen in the Bible. And there's a reason behind all of this. This is the background, by the way, of Isaiah. We're trying to get a historical perspective where Isaiah fits in relationship to this. Of the things that's on the list, what is the thing that goes first? Oh, you say entering? Is that what you said? Oh, you can't read it. Some of you are straining with your eyesight. Okay. Is entering into the promised land up there? Enter into the good. Way to go, David. That is really, really good. Okay. Now then, the Jews get into the promised land, and I meant to put a cough drop, and I got a mint. I'm sorry. I'm full of my mint in just a minute. Okay. Entering into the promised land. Next thing after that. Who takes them into the promised land? It's Joshua. Joshua does. I don't know where my throat is going. Joshua enters into the promised land. Now they got to have some kind of government. What's the first kind of government they have? They have judges. Second kind of government they have is the kings. And that king allowed them to have a united kingdom. I don't know if that's in your list of how you would organize and put all of these things, but as you think about the Old Testament, you come to a realization of the fact that it's this nation. What happens in the Old Testament? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob go down to the land of Egypt. Moses leads them out of the land, or out of the land of Egypt. Joshua takes them into the promised land. They're ruled by judges. They're ruled by kings. There's a united, that, thank you very much. There is a united kingdom that they had. What would be the thing after the united kingdom? Is that too hard? You've got the divided kingdom. And we're going to spend some time looking at this part of the Old Testament as we introduce the book of Isaiah. You've got the united kingdom, then you've got the divided kingdom. Now then, you only have three other things left up there. One is the fall of the southern kingdom, Babylonian captivity, and the fall of the northern kingdom. Which one comes first? United kingdom, next major event, that northern kingdom is done away with. Then after that is the divided kingdom. And the divided kingdom and that southern kingdom is taken into captivity. And then finally there is that Babylonian captivity. I don't know if you like maps or not. I love maps. I think I'm more of a visual person than I am auditory. But look at the map that's about to come up there. And that's the proper order, by the way, in which those things go. But look at the map. You recognize that is a Bible map. You see the land of Egypt. You see the red markings back up one. Get to the Exodus. There it is. Right. Get to the Exodus, and so you've got them crossing over the Red Sea, and this is the life of Moses. Moses leads them across the Red Sea. We're skipping all of that. Adam and Noah and Abraham, getting the Jews leaving the land of Egypt, because that's part of the Bible story we know. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, Egypt, how are you going to get out? Moses leads you out, and they come out of that land. They go all the way up to the edge of the promised land. Who takes Moses' place? And the one who takes Moses' place is Joshua. Joshua takes Moses' place and leads them into the promised land. Now you look at the map, you see where it says the Great Sea, the Mediterranean. We're about to zoom in on, you see the Salt Sea? The next map zooms in on that Salt Sea, Mediterranean. And we look at the land, and go ahead and put that next slide up there, the Kingdom of Solomon. That's when we've zoomed in. Now, we're going to stay on this slide for some time, just so we got some historical perspective. Trying to figure out when Isaiah lives. You cannot just pick up a book and read without knowing the historical setting. Leave the land of Egypt, head for the promised land. Joshua takes them into the promised land. When they get into the promised land, they then divide this land out among the tribes. We could have put a slide here that showed where geographically each one of the 12 tribes of Israel lived in. They're ruled over by judges. Now what we're looking at is that kingdom during the time of Solomon. But recognize it's the same geographical land. The geography is exactly the same. It just does not show how it was divided among them. They're ruled over by judges. How many judges were there? About how many judges are there? If you say 760, that's close enough. It's not very close, but about how many judges were there? There were about 15 judges. And so they're in the promised land. They got to have some kind of government. Now the judges were also deliverers. But part of the function they had was whenever they were ruled over by the Old Testament and some issue came up that was not specifically dealt with in the law of Moses, there was a Supreme Court. And sitting at the top of the Supreme Court was, and they didn't really have a court, but when they tried to decide what was going to happen, there were the judges. So they were there as judges, and the judges helped them to be faithful to God. After the period of the judges, look on the right-hand side of that screen, the people asked to have a king, and the king is appointed. Now, their first king, and this is, I think, important to know, when they have what we call the United Kingdom, or the One Kingdom, because the word united wouldn't fit on the screen, but when they have the United Kingdom, the first king is who? When they no longer have judges, then they have The first king, King Saul. How long does Saul reign? That's not hard. Harold Pack used to say, anytime Dan asked how many or how long, there's only two answers. It's either 40 or 7, okay? This is one of those 40 questions. How long does Saul reign? For 40 years. God then gives them a second king that God selected, not the people selected Saul in one respect. They asked for a physical giant to lead them, and he gave them one. King Saul, head and shoulders above the people. And so after Saul is the second king. Who's that? That's King David. Here's one of those how long. How long does David reign? 40 years. He reigns 40 years. Then after David, his son reigns. How long? Well, who is? What's the name of that son? Solomon. How long does Solomon reign? 40 years. And so you've got 120 years of that kingdom being united. And you look at the map, and that shows you the extent, the vast domain of land over which Solomon reigned. And you may be able to read the names of all those little cities and places that are there, depending on how good your eyesight is. But if you look up near the top of the screen, you see that river up there? There, up in the northern part of that is the river Euphrates. And so he reigns all the way over. Just go down to the southern part of that. You see Kadesh Barnea, you see Beersheba. And you see that expression, the river of Egypt. River of Egypt is not Nile. It's a much smaller river. And Solomon, the Bible specifically says, Solomon reigned from the river of Egypt all the way up to the river Euphrates. And then the kingdom is divided. And it is at this point that we really struggle in trying to figure out what happens. Look at that next slide. If you'll look at the next slide, I don't know how much of that you'll be able to make out, but you see the word United Kingdom, and right above that, I don't know, can you read the name Saul and David and Solomon, or almost can read Saul and David or Solomon? Now, I don't know if you can read it on the back row or not, but this is somebody else's chart and not mine. I would have tried to make that font a little bit larger and everything. But you've got a United Kingdom. And so what you have here is a timeline that shows you the United Kingdom. What's the history of the Old Testament? I'll make of you a great nation, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, promise made to them. They go down to the land of Egypt. Moses leads them out. Joshua leads them into the promised land. They got some sort of government of the judges for about 350 years. Then they asked to have a king, and so they have the United Kingdom for 120 years. This is not when Isaiah lives. He lives after this period of time. But whenever Solomon dies, that kingdom is divided, and it becomes the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Look at the next slide. It's the map. There's Solomon's kingdom. And so it's divided. They rebel against the house of David. They tell the house of Solomon, they said, we don't want any more of the, we do not want the descendants of David and Solomon to rule over us. And so they select another king. We'll talk about him in just a minute, talk about his name. But about 931 B.C., that kingdom is divided. Solomon, who had such a massively powerful influence in the world, probably the greatest kingdom in the world at that time, richest and most influential kingdom in the world at that time, is the kingdom of Solomon. But when Solomon dies, the kingdom is divided into two kingdoms. And if you'll see the word Israel there, that's the northern kingdom. Israel becomes the name of the northern kingdom, and 10 of the 12 tribes rebel against the house of David and Solomon. And this is where it gets foggy in our understanding of the Old Testament. But it's really critical because there are some words you need to understand. At this time, the word Israel almost always refers to that northern kingdom. And then the southern kingdom is the kingdom of Judah. And when you look at that map, the kingdom of Judah looks like it is really, really a powerful kingdom. But the reality is, they began to lose all of that kingdom that Solomon had. And that southern kingdom, you see where the word Judah is about the size of Palm Beach County. That's about how big the southern kingdom is. And it's important for us to get that in our minds. Kingdoms divided, northern kingdom and southern kingdom. Now, if I'm not mistaken, let's look at the northern kingdom. When you look at that northern kingdom, go ahead and look at that next slide. You see all those little faces? You can't read any of those names. If you can, your eyesight is exceptionally good. But how many little faces are there? Can you count how many little faces there are in that northern kingdom? How many kings were there in that northern kingdom? There were 19 kings in the northern kingdom. And so what you have is a timeline. We've just taken the southern kingdom off, looking up at that northern kingdom. And we're trying to get over to where Isaiah lived, so we got a historical perspective, historical background in relationship to that. So from 931 B.C., when the kingdom is divided, you've got that northern kingdom, and there's just one king after another. Some of them just reign just a matter of months, not very long. But it is important as you get into the study of Isaiah that you understand the capital city. Don't put the answers up there yet. The capital city of that northern kingdom. Wonder which of those cities up there would be the capital city. I'll tell you the answer. It is Samaria. They can't go to Jerusalem. They begin to worship their own gods up there in that area. But the capital city becomes Samaria. And the principal largest tribe becomes Ephraim. That's important to know, because when you get to those last 17 books of the Old Testament, the books of prophecy, beginning with Isaiah, sometimes God refers to that northern kingdom as Israel. But sometimes He'll talk about the sins of Samaria. That's not the city. That's that entire nation up there. The sins of Ephraim. That's that entire northern kingdom. So when you read those last 17 books of the Old Testament and you begin reading about Israel, or you begin reading about Samaria, God's talking about that northern kingdom. We do that in our land. We talk about, well, what does Moscow say about this? How does Tokyo feel about this? What do we talk about? Principal cities, and that city represents the entire nation. And so the Old Testament prophets, when they'd want to talk, and Isaiah and others, when they'd want to talk about that northern kingdom, they'd call them Israel. Sometimes they'd call them Samaria, but oftentimes they would call them Ephraim. And so that northern kingdom is there, and the name of that first king. When Solomon dies, he has a son named Rehoboam. Will that help you get the name of the northern kingdom? If I say Rehoboam was the first king of the southern kingdom. When I was a kid studying the Bible, I thought they were identical twins. Just because their names rhymed. You got Rehoboam, you got Jeroboam. I sure thought they were close kin, if not brothers, and maybe identical twins. Nothing at all to do with kinship. But when Solomon dies, that vast northern kingdom, you got to understand, population-wise, geography-wise, 80 to 90% of God's people turned against Jerusalem, turned against worshiping God in Jerusalem, turned against David and Solomon, and 80 to 90% of that kingdom just headed out their own. How many kings? 19 kings. How many were righteous? Not a single righteous king in that northern kingdom. When they left God, from 931 until 722 B.C., when they left God, goodbye God, and they never were faithful to God forever. If you want to understand the mercy and the patience of God, talk about long-suffering and patience is what we're trying to emphasize this month in some of our classes and lessons. The emphasis is press on to dealing with each other. That has to do with being long-suffering with each other. Look how long-suffering God was. 931 to 722 B.C. is how many years? About how many years is it? Well, is that a better question? About 200 years. And never was there a godly king. And yet God was up there begging them to come back to Him, begging them to come back to Him, and they would not to come back to Him. Isaiah lives during the time of this divided kingdom. Let's go ahead and lock him in here. Isaiah lives. What happened to that northern kingdom? Well, that northern kingdom was taken captive and was taken captive to Assyria. Let me just stop here long enough to point out, and it'll help you to get this in your head, that there is a country called Syria that is immediately north of Israel and Judah. There is that country called Syria. Nate, if you could go down to, I think it's slide number 17, if that shows the Mediterranean as it is now divided, might give you some idea, because this has got the modern names of those lands over there. You see where Israel is down. This is the modern map, promised land, Mediterranean Sea. See the Mediterranean Sea, the Great Sea? Over there, you see, you've got Israel. Little green areas is Israel. That's the modern map. Immediately north of that is Syria. And so Isaiah is going to talk about the Syrian kings. They were the real threat to the southern kingdom. I mean, they were just arch enemies almost the whole time. And so in that part of Bible history, you keep reading about the country of Syria. And that's that land that is immediately north of Palestine. You got that locked in? Locked into that, because this map does not have Assyria on it. So Nate, if you go to the last slide, I think it's the next slide, slide 18, you see the word Assyria? You see it sort of right in the middle of the map? Now look down, and you've got Jerusalem. You've got there. You see the word Damascus immediately north of Jerusalem. Damascus is the capital city of Syria. Now, that's important to know, but it doesn't chronologically geographically fit into the destiny of those kingdoms. Because the greater kingdom that deals with the Jews is Assyria. You see where Assyria is? Do you see in Assyria, I don't even see the name Nineveh there. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. And so if you can see where Syria is, you see it, it's just right above the word Damascus is Syria. And then north and east of that is Assyria. Now let's go back to that northern kingdom. Go back to that previous slide. I don't even know the number of it, Nate. You'll have to go back to it. Here's the summation of it. There's the northern kingdom. Some of you are using your phones to make copies of it. This would be the one I'd make the copy of. You've got the northern kingdom. And because you have that northern kingdom, we've got notes there that are important in relationship to that northern kingdom. Capital city, Samaria, largest tribe, Ephraim. That is important because when you read those last 17 books of the Old Testament, he's going to talk about Samaria. He's not talking about the Samaritan woman. That's the New Testament. That he's not talking about that. And so he's going he'll call that nation Ephraim, just like that southern kingdom is called by the largest tribe in the southern kingdom, Judah. The northern kingdom was called by the name of the largest tribe in the northern kingdom, and that is Ephraim. The first king of that northern kingdom is Jeroboam. 19 kings, none of them were righteous. What happened to that northern kingdom? In 722 BC, 931, whenever Solomon dies, to 722, 200 years, 19 kings, not a godly one. God finally says, I've had it up to here. And so God allows the Assyrians to come and destroy that northern kingdom, and it ceases to exist. That's the end of that northern kingdom. 80 or 90% of Solomon's kingdom, it's curtains. All you got, little right down the southern part, where you've got Judah, Jerusalem, Judea, the New Testament way to describe that, the size of Palm Beach County. And so the lineage of Christ and the God's dealing with the Jewish nation is not with the northern kingdom. God is following the history of that southern kingdom, and the history of the Bible has to do with that southern kingdom. Well, why even mention the northern kingdom? Of course, you got to know what happened to all the Jews. I mean, they're really a small, small kingdom. I think that slide we looked at before showed the Persian Empire and showed how big the Persian Empire was. And here's little Palm Beach County. Here's little Judah down in that southern kingdom. And so you've got that. Now then, I am going to take off of the screen in the next slide before you go there. Go back to the previous slide. Look at the northern kingdom. We're going to wipe all that out. Why? Doesn't matter. I mean, that's the end of that northern kingdom. And so chronologically and biblically, what matters is that southern kingdom. It doesn't mean that northern kingdom is not important. God sends prophet after prophet. Some of those 17 prophets of the Old Testament are all directed exactly to that northern kingdom. But God's dealing with the Jewish nation because that northern kingdom left God. Not a godly king up there at all. Ahab and Jezebel, to give you the names of that you'll recognize of ungodliness. That's up in the northern kingdom. It's over. That's the end of that northern kingdom. And so what matters, now go to the next slide, is to look at the southern kingdom. We've wiped out the northern kingdom. And what we have on the lower half of that screen there are the kings of the southern kingdom. There were how many kings in the northern kingdom? Don't say 40 or 7, you'd be wrong. There are 19 kings in that northern kingdom. How many of them were righteous? Not a single one. The southern kingdom has how many kings? 19 kings. How many of them are really righteous? Four of them. Four of them are righteous kings. Where on earth could I find a list of those southern kings? Look at the begats. Look at Genesis chapter 1. If you want a list of the kings of the southern kingdom, It's not entirely complete, but if you want to know the names of the southern king, look in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, you've got Solomon in verse 7. And on the screen, you'll have a Solomon's son, and I don't know if you can read those names that are there, but here is the list of the southern kings. So if you read about some of these kings in the Bible, where do they fit in? Here's a good place to go and to look. So Solomon, in verse 7, begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. Hezekiah begat Manasseh, Manasseh, Amon, and then we got down to Josiah. Now then, you have a list of almost every one of those southern kings in the order in which they lived. Got that? I think we have a slide that gives the details of that southern kingdom. If you want to look at that, and then we'll try to get to the book of Isaiah. Northern kingdom, name of it was Israel. Name of the southern kingdom is Judah. The greatest city, the capital city of the southern kingdom, Jerusalem. The first king of the southern kingdom is Rehoboam. 19 kings, and there were 4 that were righteous. Where did they go into captivity? They were not much better. Over 200 years, that northern kingdom existed all of that time and didn't have a godly king there. There were some righteous people. Remember Elijah? He's a northern king. Prophet, probably not a king, but he's a prophet to the northern kingdom. Faces down the people of Baal, and he's asked God to take him. I'm the only righteous one left on the earth. And the Lord said, wait a minute, how many other righteous people up there you don't know about Elijah? 7,000. But 7,000 compared to that multitude of individuals. I don't know what the population of the northern kingdom was at one time. But at one time, they had an army of 800,000 individuals. That's 800,000 men who could go to war. That's how big that northern kingdom was at one time. And so in the time of Elijah, there were only 7,000 righteous that were there. God wiped them out. And you look at the southern kingdom, and some of them are righteous. And God is patient with them for about how many years? Northern kingdom, about 200 years. About how many years was God patient with that southern kingdom? About 300. From 931 to 606 B.C. And then they go into captivity. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Ready to get to the study of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 1 helps us understand where Isaiah fits in the picture. Isaiah chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It's not words. Here's the introduction to the book. Who's Isaiah? Is he a prophet to the northern kingdom or to the southern kingdom? He was a prophet during the time of the and get delivered his message to Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. There's a date for this book. There's a marker. Here is the exact listing, and he prophesies not just under one king, one sermon, but he prophesies over a period of 4 kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Now, just in passing, almost every one of the 17 books of the Old Testament does that for you. If you want to know when Jeremiah lives, you want to know when Amos lives, you want to know when Micah lives, just go to verse 1. And there's the date stamp that is there, but unless you know the things we've already talked about tonight, you're lost. Doesn't make any difference. Who's Hezekiah? I don't know. Where's Judah fit in the picture? I don't know. Where's Jerusalem fit in the picture? I don't know. But it's not that hard to get it. When Solomon dies, the kingdom is divided, and there's a southern kingdom that concerns Jerusalem and Judah. And here's the list of the kings in Matthew chapter 1. And so I can figure out when this guy lived. And we'll figure out, you can figure out that there were people who were prophesying at the very same time Isaiah was prophesying. How do you figure that out? Well, just go to the book of Micah, and Micah says, guess what? I'm prophesying during the same time when Isaiah prophesied. So you've not only got Isaiah prophesying, you've got other individuals that are there. And sometimes they overlap under certain kings. And sometimes there's be more than one prophet at that time. But Isaiah is there trying to get people to serve God. Spiritually, what is happening? Go to the slide that talks about the spiritual condition. Look in chapter 1, go down to verse 6. Isaiah, how healthy spiritually is Israel at this time? Alas, sinful nation, verse 6 says. A people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards. Why should you be stricken again? Verse 4. I'm sorry. Verse 6 says, verse 6. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in them, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You ever had a sore that had pus in it? You'll know what I'm talking about. God says, that is what this nation looks like. And so God's got a message. And He's got a message for all of those people during the divided kingdom, northern kingdom and southern kingdom. And that's where these books of prophecy come in. But you got to study the book in relationship to the things that are happening that's there. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of words. And when we study the Bible, we get to that dense fog, and we don't know northern kingdom, southern kingdom. We don't know if the northern kingdom is good, if the southern kingdom was good, northern kingdom was bad. How bad was the northern kingdom? What's the spiritual condition of the southern kingdom? I want to tell you, if you've got 19 kings in the southern kingdom and only 4 of them are righteous, how bad is the southern kingdom? The top of their head, the sole of their feet. There is no righteousness to be found within them. He says, these wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed up or bound up or soothed with ointment. Nobody is addressing the sincere heart of this southern kingdom. And that's where we're headed in this study. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe getting that historical background will help us understand this. If you don't get it, you're really going to struggle trying to study, figure out what's happening. But it's not that hard. Now, in the process of preaching to that southern kingdom, during the times of Uzziah and all the way down to the time of Manasseh, during that time of prophesying, He's going to give promise after promise of the coming of Jesus. You want to know why there are more than 80 references in the New Testament to Isaiah? Isaiah is the messianic prophet. That's it for tonight. I think some of the classes are dismissed, and maybe the bell rang and I didn't hear it, but I...